Okay. The Conference Committee for Environment and Agriculture will come to order. How far did we get yesterday?
BCA.
Are we on?
DNR.
DNR now? Go through the spreadsheet then, and should we talk about some logistics for next week or right now before we get too far? Looks like session's going to be interfering a lot. And so we're not going to have anything on Saturday, but we'll come back on Monday and hopefully try and schedule something for Monday afternoon. It's kind of going to depend on what everybody's doing in session, I suppose. But at some point in time, we'll get a timeout to everybody. And I'm thinking around 1:30 maybe, but we'll see if that continues to work as things progress today and then on Monday. So probably consider that to be the time, because I think, how does this thing work now? If you get the gavel tomorrow, but since we're not meeting, I get it again on Monday. Sure you don't want it on Monday and then give it to me on Tuesday? I mean, we could do it that way. I mean, we could just go meeting to meeting instead of day to day, you know. Can we make our own rules here? They say no?
They.
Yeah, who's they?
They're playing golf.
There's nobody above David.
They're playing golf now, Mr. Chair.
Oh, we got to go. Are we golfing on Saturday? No. Oh, okay.
In the snow.
We're making up our own rules.
Sometimes I kick the ball when I golf, so we can get in trouble, you know, but that could be what he's talking about. So, anyways, Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, so I would assume at some point there'd be you'd be getting a target of what we have to.
Yeah, I heard it's May 20th we're getting the target.
Morning.
Yeah. So we're kind of discussing that between ourselves here about whether or not how we're going to proceed after today, because today we hopefully will get done with the side-by-side comparisons and then at some point decide what we're going to – we'll probably do the same as on Monday and then get into moving through maybe what's – less controversial first and move into the things that are farther apart later on. And at some point, roll this baby out of here. I've got a really good idea for Representative Junior, so I think she's going to love it by the time I'm done. And it should be really easy to settle this. But anyway, she's kicking me under the table, just so you know. So anyway, Mr. Mueller, why don't you start with the spreadsheet? Tell us where you are exactly so we can follow along.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members, we'll start with the spreadsheet we were working off of yesterday. We'll start on page 3, which is the natural resources change items. And again, I'll be working off sort of that the middle gray column there has the differences of House versus Senate. And I'll mention the line numbers as I'm going down. The first change items are general fund change items. The first one that the House has is a reduction for the Drill Corps library, and that was also in the governor's budget. And then later on, they replace that with a fee, and the Senate does not contain that. The next reduction is an overall reduction that was recommended by the DNR to the Lands and Minerals Division of DNR. The House has a reduction of almost $3.7 million, and then they replaced that with some new fees. The Senate did a less of a reduction of about $2.7 million and did not do any of the fee increases. And I'll talk about the fee increases as we get towards the bottom. The next one is a Senate. On line 74 is a Senate. The Senate repeals a lot of the utility crossing fees, and in doing so, there's a loss of some money to the Lands and Minerals Division. So this replaces that. The Senate has an addition here of replacement of fee revenue. That's about $800,000. Then we're moving on to Eco and Waters. The Senate, House, and the governor all had a $3.75 million per year for continuing aquatic invasive species. This is basically general fund replacement money for some one-time money from the last biennium. The next thing is line 76 and 77 is some additional money for the Mississippi Headwaters Board on the Senate side and the other portion of that appropriation that goes to the Leech Lake Band. Then we have line 78, a house provision of $1 million per year from the general fund for aquatic invasive species local grants. The Senate has a similar provision, but it uses game and fish fund. And, ours runs through in the enforcement area and is for $500,000 per year. Next, we have the new general fund money for forest management. The governor was at $4 million per year. The House is at $2.5 million per year. And the Senate is at $5.5 million per year. Next, we have a House provision on line 80. It's a $50,000 one-time appropriation for state forest nursery planning. Then we have the another on line 81 is the governor's proposal that was carried by the House and the Senate for $2.25 million per year for parks funding, state parks funding.
Excuse me.
Yes.
That is also to backfill.
Yes.
Ms. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, yes, that is also replacing some one-time money from the previous biennium.
That's important that folks know that it's not new money.
Mr. Chairman and members, back on line 82 is a House provision for $350,000 per year for prairie restoration for pollinator habitat. Next, we have another on line 83 is another provision that was carried in the governor's budget that is carried by the House and the Senate. It's a general fund reduction for prairie wetlands. This is the last remaining chunk of general fund money that goes to fish and wildlife area. Then on line 84 is a House provision for $400,000 per year for a records management system. And then the last one is the House line for the base adjustment for the DNR that they're carrying on a number of agencies. And that's for the biennium, it's $957,000 in 14 and 15, and then $1.278 million in the tails.
Chairman.
Senator Mitzen.
I see that base adjustment shows up about six or eight times. It appears to be about $2 million. Is that for salaries, or what is it? Why are we? I mean, we don't have it at all, nor does the governor. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't understand.
Who wants to take that?
I think we can have our fiscal analyst explain how we're going to impose 1%. Let him explain how it was done.
Mr. Chair, members, the House for all agencies has provided a 1% base adjustment the first year and another 1% the second year. That's why it's roughly double the second year. I believe it's based off of payroll expenses. And that's through all agencies in the House, not just this bill area. And like I said, I believe it's based off of general fund payroll expense.
So it's 1 plus 1.
So it's 1 plus 1, but that second year would be compounded with that first year. So it's might be slightly higher than double.
Chairman, that's not handled. The Senate must, and we're on the salary committee, Senator Hanson, or Representative Hanson and I and others, and we did the 2-2. How is that money handled? Does anybody know that?
Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, I think the way the House did it is rather than having the contract language come out of the existing budgets, we put additional dollars in into the base to cover that. We've been in the cutting mode for so long, and having the agencies eat things, this is where put the money in to pay for those contracts.
So,
Chairman, and I understand we got to pay people, and you and I voted for it, and others did it in the committee, but just how mechanically it works here, we'll figure it out. We have to hear it.
As we get our targets, we will know whether this is going to how this is going to be handled. So it's just a little premature for us to deal with it when the.
But it's intended, if I understood right, it's intended to be on top of the 2 plus 2, right?
I think it's to cover the 2 plus 2.
It's to cover the 2 plus 2.
So the two collectors.
Cover 2 + 2 if it's 1 + 1. Never mind.
All right, well, it'll get figured out, I'm sure.
Senator Sacks, you got that in your, you don't have any.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was just going to comment that in state government finance, when we did the side-by-sides and the change, the adjustments were on the House side, as we see here, and in the Senate took the recommendations of the Compensation Council. So that's, you can see, that's where most of the money is for the executive branch and the legislative branch. That's the difference you'll see. We'll have to work that out over there, too.
Mr. Mueller.
Clear to me.
Yeah.
It's clear like mud.
Mr. Chairman and members, so you'll see the total general fund expenditures on line 88 there. It's, the House has just over $17 million in new general fund money, and the Senate's at about $20.7 million for the DNR. So there's about $3.6 million difference. And most of that is probably due to the area, the forestry area. That's the big difference in that area for general fund. Next, we have changes in the Natural Resources Fund, starting on line 91. Line 91 and 92 on the House side and mirror the governor's proposals. These are spending new revenue that is coming in from fee increases for minerals lease applications and then a permit to mine fee increase. And the Senate does not carry these fee increases. On line 93 is the Natural Resources Fund reduction for the utilities crossing fee, the $401,000 per year. And again, on the Senate side, this was replaced with general fund money. Line 94 is another fee increase that was in the governor and is also in the House bill. It's real estate lease application fee, and the Senate is not carrying that.
I thought we carried that. What happened to that?
Mr. Chairman, when we, it was originally on the Senate spreadsheet, but then as we were going through the language, it was not in the language. So it is, the Senate does not have fee increases in its bill. So even that one.
Senator Westrom.
Sure. Can you refresh me or remind me a little more what lease application fees, what is that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrom, you'll see it in the language that the House has when we go through the language in the bill, but it's basically for leasing state lands. There's a lease application fee that's in the House side. There was a discussion in the Senate about carrying that one, and my recollection is at one point the chair in discussions decided to take that out, and there wasn't. Mr. Mueller and I didn't talk well enough or communicate well enough about what was in and what was out, so this was being carried in the spreadsheet, but it was never part of the Senate bill. We didn't have any fee increases for DNR in the Senate bill.
And Mr. Chair, Greg, would Mr. Knopf, I should say, would that be, I'm thinking of our livestock grazers that some lease state lands, would be an application fee for them. Timberlands, are those the types of fees? And what are we talking offhand?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrom, I don't think those are the kinds of leases we're talking about. We're talking more longer-term leases. And with timberland, those are timber permits. They're not leases. So this would be different. This is kind of the general land leasing that the department does.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, the next one is on line 95. The House is carrying $145,000 per year for a school trust administrator. The line number 96 is the expenditures related to the fee increase for the water use fee increases on the.
We'll go back to the school trust administrator.
Sure.
What did we do?
Mr. Chairman, we did not fund that. That was also not part of the original governor's proposal. There was a recommendation in previous legislation that said the legislature should consider how to fund this. And if we don't do a direct appropriation, basically I think my belief is the funding would have to come out of existing DNR resources and possibly admin, Department of Admin resources, depending on where the school administrator is officially housed. So,
Mr. Chairman, Senator. Just I kind of make this speech every time I can, but you know, how many employees do the DNR have? And every time we ask somebody to do something more, we have to add a full-time equivalent, or two, or three, or four. An admin might have 1,800, I'm making these numbers up, 1,800 people, and you ask them to do something, and I think that's what we're doing here, school trust administrator, and you got millions and millions of dollars in a budget. Do it. Do it. Figure out a way to do it. So every time we ask a department, not just in this area, but every area, there's a 2.3 FTEs or 7.9. So anyway, that's my thought on this one. And
I'm completely with you on that. In this particular case, this might be a new hire. So,
well, that's what I guess it is.
And what you're talking about is when we tell them to do something and then they tell us that
we
need more money to do this, and they're using the same people. That's kind of what I think. Oh. Yeah.
But we need to clarify that a bit, if we could.
When we get, okay.
If you will remember, we passed a law not last year, and it was changing the school trust lands, and the advocates in the education community asked us to have someone essentially to make sure DNR was doing what DNR was supposed to do, and felt that that person could not be in DNR or be under the control of DNR. So this is for someone who is not in DNR to oversee DNR. Am I getting that roughly correctly?
Madam Chair, you're right on.
If that's the case, that's fine.
But your point is well taken.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, and it, yeah, I did that. So you don't have somebody within the department, Mr. Chairman, and member, looking at this, because it's not going to work that way. You have to have an outside. Yeah, okay. That's.
And Mr. Chair, that doesn't mean I necessarily agree with that, but that's exactly that explanation is exactly right.
Well, let me put it on the record to be perfectly clear. I voted against that law.
Okay.
And
okay.
I voted against that change. It is in our bill because it is the law.
See, there's something wrong with this whole thing because I voted for the law and it's not in my. What do you
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering what the person that I voted with you, Mr. Chairman, but I'm wondering what the person that used to do this in the DNR is now doing.
Well, he probably wasn't doing it, which is why we fired him or whatever we did. I don't know, but Senator Saxa.
Well, no, there was the job wasn't there.
Yeah, there wasn't a job.
And on that, Mr. Chairman, on that point, when we get through the. Go through the side-by-side language. The House has some language in their bill where they're cleaning up the actual, some of the statutes that we enacted on that law that you're talking about where there was supposed to be a recommendation from the governor on about how to fund this position too. So so there is some language when you go through the side-by-side that we can also look at.
We didn't eliminate issue. The position, right?
No.
Okay. All right.
There was a repealer, actually.
Yes.
It's not in our bill.
You did not carry the repealer.
No.
So, in other words, we want it funded the way Senator Metzen wants it funded, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Whatever that is.
Exactly.
Whatever
that is.
I haven't figured that out yet. But the way I want to do it.
We're getting there, though. We're getting there. Okay, Mr. Mueller, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members, again, on line 96 is the House appropriations for the new water use fees, and that's a governor's position. Also, the House is at a little bit different level than a little bit lower level than what the governor was recommending, but it's 7.76 million in 14 and 15, and then it goes up to 10.5 million in the tails. And these are for the water use fees. And when we go through the side-by-side, you can see what those fee increases are. Line 97, the House is carrying the $200,000 per year for Asian carp barrier insurance. That was in the governor's budget. The Senate is not carrying that. We were working off information that maybe the barriers will not go into place right away and the insurance will not be needed for fiscal year 14. But we would have a chance to revisit that again for fiscal year 15 and beyond. Line 98, the House and the Senate were both carrying a reduction to the forest management investment account that it's basically adjusting the appropriation for money that's not really going to be there because their revenues are down, and something that the governor's budget would should probably have had also included. Line 99 is a governor's proposal that's carried by the House and Senate. It just allows the DNR to spend within the Parks and Trails system the reservation money that's coming in on their online reservation system to spend some more of that money that they get from fees. And that was a governor's proposal. Line 100, again, was another governor's proposal, just spending a little bit more money out of the cross-country ski account, and this is for on in-state parks, allow them to do some grooming in state parks. That's $75,000 per year addition. Line 101, again, is another governor's proposal, just appropriating a little bit more money out of the lottery and lieu account for local and regional trails and grants. So that's a $200,000 increase. That was the governor's budget item that was carried in the House and Senate. Lines 102 and 103 go together on the Senate side. It's basically paying for the Crane Lake restroom facility. The Senate pays for that out of the existing base budget appropriation from the water rec account. So you see the negative 300 on line 102 and then a positive 300 on line 103. And the House has a similar provision, but they provide new money out of the water rec account for it. So they have a new appropriation of $300,000. Line 104 is a governor's proposal. This is just eliminating the funding from the non-game account for wolf management, because that is now covered under the wolf management account that is paid for by the wolf hunting and trapping fees. Line 105 is a governor's proposal. This is the portion for the conservation officer training program, and this is the portion of the money that is coming from the Natural Resources Fund. There's also money coming out of the Game and Fish Fund below, but $63,000 per year, and that's coming from a variety of accounts within the Natural Resources Fund, you know, like the ATV account, snowmobile account, things like that. So that 63 is split up actually between a number of accounts. And then the last item here is a governor's proposal that's carried by the House and not by the Senate for data analytics and decision tools. And again, there's some other Game and Fish Fund money going towards this, and also some special revenue fund. And this was, so it's $99,000 per year from the Natural Resources Fund. The Senate did not carry this change item. So on line 110, you'll see the total changes due to from the Natural Resources Fund. The House is at $6.298 million, and the Senate is actually at a negative $4.3 million reduction from the Natural Resources Fund. The big increase from on the House side is due mostly to the new water use fees. So that's the big change. That's the big difference item from that fund. Next, we have the Game and Fish Fund changes. The governor and the House is carrying the governor's proposal for about $4 million per year increase from the Game and Fish Fund, and that's split in between three divisions. And the Senate basically came in at half that amount. So lines 113, you'll see the Game and Fish Fund increase for the Eco and Water Division is at $150 per year. The Senate's at half that at $75 per year. Then you'll see the on line 114 is the Senate's provision for appropriating Game and Fish Fund for AIS local grants, and this goes through the Enforcement Division. Then the House and the Senate are both carrying the governor's proposal for some money out of the Heritage Enhancement Account in the Game and Fish Fund for ecological classification system on forest lands. This is a continuation of appropriation from the current biennium that was made one time, and now the governor's budget has continued this program. Line 116, again, is part of the governor's proposal for the new spending some of the new money in the Game and Fish Fund due to the hunting and fishing license fee increase. The governor had $3 million per year, just over $3 million per year that the House is also carrying. Again, the Senate is at about half that, at $1.5 million per year. Next on line 117 is the portion of the money coming from the Game and Fish Fund going for the Conservation Officer Training Program. That was the governor's proposal. It's being carried by the House and Senate. Line 118 is the last part of the governor's proposal for the Game and Fish Fund increase. This goes to the Division of Enforcement, $830,000 per year increase, and the Senate, again, is at half of that, at $415,000 per year. Then the last item here is the Game and Fish Fund portion of the data analytics and decision tools at $180,000 per year. Again, this comes out of a couple different accounts in the Game and Fish Fund, and the Senate is not carrying that change item. So the House has about $10.7 million for the biennium out of the Game and Fish Fund, and the Senate's at about $7.3 million per year. So there's about $3.4 million difference out of the Game and Fish Fund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So how come the Senate is lower on the Game and Fish if it's about half? What was the rationale of not doing all the money?
Well, the only explanation we got, and help me out here if I'm wrong, but the only explanation we got was that the money was going to be used for more of what had been used for in the past, and then if they kept spending it at the rate that they were spending it, that we'd have to increase the fees again in 4 to 5 years. And so we thought we maybe should slow them down a little bit so we didn't have to increase fees in the next 4 or 5 years. And so that was kind of the rationale behind what we were thinking on that.
Mr. Chairman, we'll go to the last part of change items here for the DNR. Under other fund change items, these are mostly under special revenue fund. The House is carrying a governor's proposal that just increases some spending for the on one of their fee increases, and it only happens in the tails between so line 126, it's $10,000 in 16 and $20,000 in 17, and this is tied to one of the fee and other fee increases in the House bill that was also in the governor's proposal. The Senate is not carrying this fee increase or the expenditure. And then on line 127 is the expenditures of new fees that would be for the drill hole inspections in the library. So this spends the new fees that were proposed in the governor's bill. So it spends $209,000 per year. The House is carrying that change item. The Senate is not. Then there's on line 128 is the money coming from the special revenue fund for data analytics and decision tools. That is not in this. The House is carrying that proposal. The Senate is not. Then the last item is the governor's proposal to increase the cost of the critical habitat license plate. That would raise about $800,000 per year over what they're already getting. And the Senate did not have this fee increase. So overall, the House is increasing the DNR's spending on line 134 by about $36 million for the biennium, and the Senate's at about $23.7 million per year, so it's a difference of about 12.4, but the Senate does have more new general fund going into the agency at 20.7 per year, and the House is at just over $17 million per year of new general fund money. So that is it on DNR.
Any questions on the spreadsheet? before we are we going to the language now? Gonna,
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to quickly go through the fees, and then we'll quickly go through the last couple of agencies. There's not too many change items on that, and then we can maybe go to the side-by-side language.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members, on page 4, you'll see a summary of the fee increases, and then at the end of the spreadsheet, there's actually a more detailed one that's put together by the House fiscal staff that we can maybe come back to later when we want to talk about fees. But this is sort of at the summary level, some of the fee increases between the House, the governor, the House, and the Senate within DNR. So I'll just quickly go through them. The Senate has a net reduction of fees of $2.46 million per year, and the House has a net increase of fees of about $10.7 million per year. The Senate again has there's a number of reductions that are happening for the utility crossing fee exemption throughout a number of different funds. On line 138, there's a little bit of loss of revenue to the general fund of $127,000 per year for that utility crossing fee exemption. On line 139, you'll see the new revenue due to the drill hole library fee increase. As was the governor's item, and is also in the House, not in the Senate. Then we'll go through a couple of some new fees that are in that were in the governor's budget and are also in the House. A variation of they may have some variations in the House bill compared to the governor, but there's an aggregate reclamation fee that brings in $18,000 per year. Line 141 is just another, and 142 are just some small revenue losses to other funds due to the utility crossing fee exemption. Line 143 is aquatic management fee increase of $700,000 per year. The governor had $700,000 per year, and the House is at a lower amount, $296 per year, and the Senate does not have that fee increase. Line 144 is the minerals lease application fee. That was the governor's item at $83,000 per year that the House is carrying. The Senate is not. Then we have reclamation fees. This is just different classification of how the House is handling this compared to the governor. And, again, we can talk about this later when we go through the fees, but this brings in $360,000 per year. That's sort of in lieu of the permit to mine fee increase line item that I'm carrying there with the governor's line item on line 146. Line 147 is that real estate lease application fee, $21,000 per year, that the governor and the House are carrying. The Senate is not. Line 148 is something that was not originally in the governor's budget, but it was in one of the governor's policy bills. It's the change in sticker for the snowmobile registration. We previously had combined the trail sticker and the registration sticker, and now we're splitting those apart again, and this will be a loss of revenue to the snowmobile account that the Senate is carrying in the bill, and it was in the governor's proposal. The House has a variation on that proposal, but it's pretty limited, so we're not tracking any revenue loss on that right now on the House side. Line 149, you'll see the fee increase for the water use application fee, and this the revenue would start coming into the account under the governor and the House in fiscal year 15. The House brings in about $6 million per year, and it goes on, and the Senate does not carry this fee increase. Lines 150 and 151, you'll see some other adjustments to other funds for that utility crossing fee exemption. Loss of $400,000 per year to the lands management account, and the other account is the permanent school fund. I actually see a little decrease in revenue of $164,000 per year. And then the last line item, fee increase there, is the increase for the license plate fees for the into the RIM account. That brings about $1.3 million per year new money.
It kind of looks like the Senate's fee adverse in this bill.
Yes.
It could DNR, be characterized a slightly different way.
Different way.
Yes. The Senate loves subsidies. Is one other way we could talk about that?
I don't know that they're all subsidized.
That's the big discussion we're going to be having.
Okay,
so
all right.
It's a fair discussion.
Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, the last two line items aren't really new expenditures, but I'm just tracking some carry forwards that are both in the House and the Senate bill. One's for the lands records management system. And it's allowing to spend some money that was originally appropriated, I think, back in 2007. And then there's another extension for another grant out of the lottery in lieu account for a White Bear Lake area. Gives them some extra time to spend that money. That's about $252,000. Next, we go on to Metro Parks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, as you've been going through the fees, there's so many different accounts in the DNR. There's this account and this sub-account of that account. And one of those is the lottery in lieu account. And we've mentioned that a couple times here. And it might be good to get... I'd like to look at that particular account because I think that was a deal that was established almost 15 years ago now, and more money keeps coming into that, and it's set on percent basis. And just looking at how much is in the reserve, what's the trend on that, you know, is that, do we just put that on autopilot and keep going for 20 or 30 years, or it might be good just for both of us to take a look at that because it's one of many different accounts, and it's hard to, I think, for the public to keep track when you have this account, sub-account of that account, and it gets to the larger discussion we're going to have of whether we have general funds pay for things or fees or whether we have this fee pay for that fee, or it's very complicated for the public to track, much less us. And so if we could sometime look at that lottery in lieu question, because I think that's been about 15 years since that was set. Maybe longer.
No, a little less.
A little less.
Oh, you know, that's a really good point, because one of the things that we've heard, at least coming out of my district, is, and this is probably directly related with the water fee that the House is carrying, is that I thought we're paying a sales tax on everything we purchase in order to clean up the water. And so, you know, I am hearing that kind of stuff too, so why should we have to pay another fee? That there's a sales tax that we're paying because of the constitutional amendment and the clean water. I mean, it's a way to characterize some things and try to work things out here. And so there's probably a solution somewhere along here that we're going to agree to, but you know, what it's going to be, I'm not sure. And
we're optimistic.
Yes. Yes, we'll proceed cautiously optimistic, depending upon what our target is and when we get it. So, we're the same in a real lot of areas. So, a lot of the bills are going to be easy to resolve, but there's a couple of spots we may have to get creative on. So,
creative is a good word.
I like that. Okay, I like that word.
Yeah, I like that word.
All right, Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hansen. Yeah. We can certainly, most of those accounts are contained in the Natural Resources Fund. There's a fund statement on that, and Mr. Hagemeyer and I can get something together and present that to you. There's about four different lottery in lieu accounts, plus another one that goes to the Game and Fish Fund, the Heritage Enhancement Account, that gets money from the lottery that we can look at those balances. And the legislature does directly appropriate out of those accounts, so they're not statutory appropriations. So occasionally when we see fund balances start increasing on those funds, we up their appropriation. So this is one of those cases on the local grants and trails. Mr. Chairman and members, we'll move on to Metro Parks. There's a line 167. The House has a increase here of $350,000 per year for solar projects.
Did you hear that?
The House has an increase, yes.
No, yeah. The solar project.
Yeah, I heard the solar.
Well, not project.
Yeah. Okay.
Just checking.
I'm all about solar. Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate has no increase or no changes to the base funding of Metro Parks. So this, the general fund amount, 5.74 million for the biennium for the Senate.
Does that solar stuff come out of the 40-40-20? That doesn't, does it?
Mr. Chairman, the first time that we did the legacy round, there was some solar money out of the parks account, yes.
This is
using general fund.
And, Senator Westrum, what did you think the breakdown should be of the
45?
The 40?
Third.
Okay. We won't decide that. Here, though, so
That's probably a good thing.
You've got to remember who pays the money into. We'll get to that later.
if we do that on all funds, you know, a third, all those funds, we'd take that.
We may have to have that discussion. Yeah, you never know.
We'll be out of here June 20th.
Mr. Chairman, next we'll move on to the Conservation Corps. Both the House and the Senate are carrying the governor's recommendation of restoring their general fund part of their appropriation at $455,000 per year. And that is in addition to the money that they get from the Natural Resources Fund. So it's an increase of just under a million for the biennium. Again, that was the governor's proposal that both the House and the Senate are carrying. And then we move on to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, or Bowser. The House has, the Senate only has one general fund change item on line 200. This was a governor's proposal that is also carried in the House of $125,000 per year for internal control compliance. Back up on the line above, watershed management transition. This was a governor's proposal for $450,000 per year. The House is also carrying that. The Senate is not, but recommended to the Clean Water Legacy Committee that they may want to consider this item to fund. Then the House has a couple other additional items on line 201, $310,000 per year general fund money for performance review and assistance. And then again on line 202 is there where they're carrying the base adjustment. $29,000 in 14 and $59,000 in 15 and beyond. So the House has $1.8 million new general fund for Bowser. The Senate has $250,000 new money for Bowser.
Representative Nelson.
Hanson.
You're close.
It's Nick, though, right? Hi, Jim.
What have I been calling you all day?
Nelson.
It right?
That's okay. We're flexible.
Wait till you get to be my age.
On that PRAP one, the performance review, that was something we put into law in 07, where when there's cost share allocated at the local soil and water districts and say the project doesn't happen and the money then comes back, that's what we're appropriating is that slippage. The money that isn't used, we're appropriating that for them to do assistance. Sometimes there are local districts that become dysfunctional or need some help, and so this is a way of kind of coaching them to improve. So I think during the special session and the shutdown, there was something related to this where it didn't get carried over, and so when the capital was locked and the conference committee was meeting on this, it didn't get carried over in the last bill. We could have Bowser discuss that when we get to that, but that's what we're doing here is appropriating some of that money that comes back to Bowser from the local districts that hasn't been spent.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we're getting close to wrapping up here. We have got the Minnesota Zoo. The Senate has no change to the base funding for Minnesota Zoo. Again, the House is carrying their base adjustment here at $52,000 in 14 and $105,000 in fiscal year 15 and beyond. And then the last difference here is the payback of the closed landfill fund. The according to current law, that we have to pay $12 million per year for 4 years to pay off a $48 million one-time transfer out of that account back in 2010. And so the $12.1 million per year is $12 million plus interest, the $100,000. The Senate is altering that payback a little bit to capture some savings for fiscal year, for the 14-15 biennium. So we're lowering that payment by $2 million and then upping the payments in the later years. So that saves us $2 million on the general fund.
Excuse me.
Senate Representative.
One of the things that the House was careful about was not doing shifts, because we all ran on no shifts, no gimmicks. Was there a particular place that you spent this money that you took out of this pot, out of the shift?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Guineas, not particular. This just helped get us to our overall net target that we received as a division. So this just, I wouldn't say we moved money from this to one other spot in particular. Just this change helped us meet our bottom line target.
So I'm not quite understanding this. If you got a target, did the target say in it do a shift?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Guineas, there was not any specific revenue transfer or transfer instructions with our target about how to get to our target.
You were just trying to establish if we get targets the same way you get targets.
Somebody tells us what it is. You get yours.
Somebody tells us what it is. But then, is this $2 million then over and above your target?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, by doing this, it allowed us to spend another $2 million in 14 and 15.
So it would be over your target.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was trying to establish.
Well, technically, it might be, but it really isn't.
$2 million.
Well, because we actually met our target, but by using this money from another fund, it didn't affect our target.
Don't you understand Iron Range talking?
We'll get there. You'll get there.
Work in progress.
Can I just follow up one more time?
Sure.
I thought I understood that you got a target, and this allowed you to spend $2 million more than your target. Did I get that right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McQueenis, yes, that is one way of looking at it, yes.
Now explain it to an Iron Ranger.
Yes.
Go ahead, try again.
A bunch of terrible bills.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, we're still paying back the fund, fully paying back the fund. It's just we're changing the payment structure to save some money in the current biennium.
So you're $2 million more to spend above your target. We could not go above our target, and that's part of what we're discussing here.
Gotcha. Okay. Mr. Chairman and members, that is it for the change.
Mr. Mueller, maybe this is part of the creative word that I was.
I think so.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman and members, this would be a good point to go back to the first page, and we can see the overall general fund spending and what each target was for each side. Bringing all parts of the bill, the ag area and the environment areas of the bill together. You'll see it back on the first page, the House in the environment area had a net spending of...
Hang on, Mr. Mills. We were whispering up here, so where are you now?
We're back on the... Mr. Chairman and members, we're back on the first page of the spreadsheet. This is a general fund summary of the whole bill, both the environment area and the ag area. And this sort of shows how we get to our overall level of spending. And when we get a target, this is how we'll be based off of. We can look at the House side first in 14 and 15. The first sort of across the top is the environment area. They had a net increase of $21.4 million per year or for the biennium, and that's all expenditures. Over on the Senate side, you'll see our net increase is $20.4 million per year, and there's a little bit of lost revenue in there. So we're about, on the net general fund area, on the environment side, we're only $951,000 apart. In the ag area, the House has a net increase of spending of $1.59 million, and the Senate is at the base level. Again, we move some money around within the ag budget on the Senate side, but our net spending does not, general fund spending does not change. So there's about a $1.59 million change between the House and the Senate in the ag area. The last section there on the bottom brings those two areas together, so you'll see the spending. Our net change between the House and the Senate is $2.5 million per year. Again, that includes that change in the repayment of the closed landfill fund. If you took that out of the equation, we'd only be about $500,000 apart in net general fund changes.
Remarkable, wouldn't you say?
Big spenders.
So that is it for the spreadsheet, unless Mr. Hagemeyer or anyone else has anything else to add or any other questions?
Nelson.
Just checking, the House position was more favorable to agriculture than the governor or the Senate. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hance, in net new spending, yes, the House has $1.59 million per year. The Senate also has the new initiatives, but it just funded that within the Agri program. So the Senate does have some other additional money for certain items also, but just uses that within the Agri program.
I think he asked the difference between the governor and the House.
Oh, the governor had $670,000 in the ag budget, and the House is at 1.6. So they're almost $1 million over the governor.
And where was the difference?
Mr. Chairman, it's mostly probably in the base adjustments. You had a couple other initiatives. If you
food safety
area.
Okay. All right. Okay, are we ready for language?
Sure.
Mr. Chair and members, if you take out, I think what we'll do is go through the riders quickly first.
Which article?
It'd be Article 3. And you can. We did the PCA part yesterday, so you can go all the way to the. It starts on the bottom of page R14. There isn't much to talk about, it's just some difference in numbers, and we did that on the spreadsheet. So if you look at R14 and 15, I think we'll skip through those two. Go to R16, Mr. Chair and members. And you see a number of riders in R16, and as far as I can tell, there's really no difference. These are just base riders on some of the mineral programs. On page R17, there's a slight difference in language in that rider.
There's some number differences on.
Well, Mr. Chair, I wasn't going to go over the number differences necessarily in the riders. They're they were in the spreadsheet, although I'm not sure on this minerals management account why there's a difference between the House and the Senate.
Mr. Chairman. And I think that is due to the additional money for the data analytics, maybe on that line item.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Knopf.
And then, Mr. Chair, yeah, the writer in the forest expense account, there's just a slight word difference. 11.34, the Senate talks about securing maximum long-term economic return, and on the House 5532, it's securing long-term economic return. So there's a little slight difference there. And then, Mr. Chair, on 56.3 to 56.8, this is the language that the House has for the school trust lands director, the $145,000 per year. There is a rider The rider on the bottom, or actually 12.4 in the Senate and 56.9 in the House. This is the money for the data records management. The one difference is the House has it available until spent, and the Senate's going to give them an additional 2 years and make them come back if they haven't spent it by then. This is the money that was originally incorporated in 2007. And then, Mr. Chair and members, on the top of page R18, this is the invasive species. This is where the House on 5633 has for the liability insurance that was mentioned in the spreadsheet. And then on 57.1, the House has some additional language on 57.5 for enhancements to the online system for water appropriation. The Senate does not have similar language. On R19, the House has a report provision on 57.17 for the Mississippi Headwaters Board. The Senate, we saw in the language, the Senate has additional money for this that the House does not, but the House does carry a report. Red River mediation is basically the same, just technical on when the date is. The date's the same, it's just where it's located. R19, you've got that's a base rider on the Heritage Enhancement Account, that's the same. Page R20, rider in the top. The base rider that from the 98 wildlife, it's the same. And then on 58.20, 58.23, this is the rider for the new water fees that the House is carrying. You'll see there's a number of items. There's a list of eight clauses what they'll be spending that money on. And then on 59.13.
Why don't you go through those just so we know?
Mr. Chair, we will go through those. On clause one, the first item is installation of groundwater monitoring wells, additional ones. Two is financial reimbursement to soil and water conservation districts.
When you get through that, I want
to. Okay, right.
Financial reimbursement for SWCDs and other local units of government for groundwater monitoring, additional surface water monitoring analysis. Number four, additional groundwater analysis to assist with water appropriation permitting decisions. Number five, additional permit application review incorporating surface water and groundwater technical analysis. Six is enhancement of precipitation data and analysis to improve the use of irrigation. Seven is enhanced information technology, including electronic permitting. And eight is increased compliance and monitoring, which I guess would be enforcement.
Representative McGinnis.
One of the things that we need to have a conversation about later on, I'm just going to point it out now, is that when someone wants a well, like an irrigation well, it is necessary to put in a monitoring well to go along with it. It is complicated, particularly in the irrigation field where new wells are coming in. You don't need a one-to-one addition of new wells. But then there's this who pays and how do you proportionately pay for the wells that are needed. And so one of the things that is assumed with this language that for irrigation wells, the state will pay for the monitoring wells needed for the irrigation wells. That's complicated. Did I make myself even remotely clear?
I actually know what you're talking about.
You do? Mm-hmm. Good, thank you.
Somebody explained this to me the other day. I saw that you could put those monitoring wells in the middle, and they can then tell what the other wells are taking out of the ground and whether or not one well is affecting the other well. Right?
Right. This is a provision to have the state do it rather than to have each individual irrigator have to have a well, because you don't need a one-for-one. Maybe you need three monitoring wells for six irrigation wells. Then who pays? Well, if they all came in at the same time, each could pay half, right? But then what happens when three more new ones come in? and those three have been already been paid, does that, do they have to then resplit it so the three new ones reimburse the old ones that are already there? It gets very complicated. So this is the state saying, no, we're going to cite those, pay for them, and you only may need three in the end. We'll place them. Does that make sense?
Maybe.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Guineas, I think in the language, in the statutory language, we'll see some of what you're talking about.
Pardon?
In the statutory language, we will see some of what you're talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, in 59.13, on the House side, you can see that's the money for the grants, the House's Aquatic Invasive Species Grants. And we'll see some language later in the Senate enforcement. On 59.18, you've got basically telling the Commissioner of Agriculture enforcing compliance with aquatic plant management requirements consistent with the DNR statute. So you got just a general direction from on the House side. On the top of page R22, we've got the right. This is the pre-suppression. This is direct appropriation for firefighting. And 60.5 and 14.14, that's the open appropriation. It's the report on the open appropriation. Excuse me. And then, Mr. Chair and members, then you've got the forest management investment account language on 60.19 and 14.28, on 60.25 and 14.34. This is the money for the ecological classification system. You see a little more money on the House side. The Senate side is the other difference in the language is purely technical in how it's described. The Senate just tried to do it in fewer words and get to the same point. On 60.34, we're on page R23 now. That's the Forest Resources Council. That's the same. The forest system appropriation is the same. And this is where on 61.5, where the House has some additional language on the state forest nurseries. And this is, I think that was mentioned in the spreadsheet, the $50,000. You'll see the Senate has a repealer later on that deals with this issue a little differently. And Mr. Chair, members, if you look on page R24, you see the money from the water recreation account. One of the reasons you see the less money in the first year is because that's where the money will be coming out for the Crane Lake water access. On the Senate side, on the House side, they added the $300,000 for this Crane Lake access. And then you'll also see on 62.5 to 62.10, the House has some language that says that they can't spend the money until the commissioner develops and implements design standards and best management practices for public water access sites, so that they actually would prohibit them until they develop those standards. And then the two riders, the next two riders on R24 are the same on both sides. R25, now we're getting into the grants programs and the off-highway vehicle programs in DNR, and those are the same on R25. I won't go into any issues there. On the top of page R26, this is the prairie restorations for the pollinator habitat. On the top on page 63.24, the House is also carrying money for the LOCON program. And I'm not sure. I thought that was a statutory appropriation for the LOCON program. We do need to directly appropriate. Okay. I know that some of it's statutorily appropriated, but according to Mr. Mueller, this is necessary, what the House says. And then, Mr. Chair, this is the next rider in that subdivision. The last rider deals with the white.
Go
drill.
Back to that comment. This is necessary to do what the House has. Why don't we have it,
Mr. Chairman? This was not originally in the governor's budget, and it was a late addition. They had sent something to me later on through the process that this appropriation needed to be added to the bill. This is an appropriation that at one time was always carried in the LCCMR bill. Now it's being carried in the DNR budget bill, and we just didn't get the communication in time to get it into the Senate bill. And Actually, on the House side, they got the language in the bill, but we have to adjust some appropriations to actually make it work right in the total appropriations once we put the final bill together. So.
And then, Mr. Chair, this, the last rider in that subdivision it deals with, that's the White Bear Lake, the lottery and lieu money for the grant, the extension of that grant. And then, Mr. Chair, on page R27, that top rider is the Heritage Enhancement Account and the Game and Fish Fund. And then there is some additional language on 64.27 or 64.28. In the Senate, we say that it can be used for hunter and angler recruitment and retention, but the House goes on to say activities that emphasize the recruitment and retention of underrepresented groups. That's not on the Senate side. And then the critical habitat to publicize the critical habitat plate, the money for that is the same on both sides. On the bottom of page R27, invasive species, the language is the same, a little difference in money, enforcement. And then, Mr. Chair, the first rider on the Heritage Enhancement Account, that's the same on both sides. The next rider on the Conservation Officer Pre-Employment Program, again, there's just a technical change in how it's described where the money is coming from. The next two riders on page R28 are the same. On page R29, those riders are the same. The top one's the Trail Ambassador Program. The second one is just the local enforcement for off-highway vehicles. And then, Mr. Chair and members, on page R30, you'll see on the House side, there's the additional money that was mentioned, the spreadsheet for records management system for enforcement. And on the Senate side, you'll see the language for county law enforcement agencies for invasive species enforcement. And then, Mr. Chair, no operations support, the riders are the same. That's the money for Como and St. Paul, for Como Park Zoo in St. Paul and the City of Duluth Zoo. That's from the lottery in lieu. And the money from the Minnesota Zoo is appropriated directly to them. And then, Mr. Chair, this is where the House has on page six, on R31 at 68.3, you'll see the money for the data analytics from the Special Revenue Fund. And then, Mr. Chair, if I have no questions, we'll go on to Bowser. On page, bottom page R31, the Natural Resources Block Grant Program, that rider, as I understand it, is the same. And then we have the rider on the top of page R32, which is the same. And then there's the cost share program. The House has broken it out into the categories of the cost share program. And my understanding is these are the categories that are used. The Senate, as in the past, has a general appropriation for the cost share program in Bowser. And this year the House decided to spell it out into each category. And then, Mr. Chair, on
Senator McGee. Oh,
Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Hanson. No, Hanson.
What we did is we went back to what there was before the last 2 years. It used to be broken out so that particularly for the feedlots and the cooperative weed management, people could see, you know, that there was dedicated money for feedlots. So we went back to what it was before the biennium that we're currently in. In the last, during the special session shutdown, the decision was made to pool all these into one appropriation. That was different than what we had done last time we were in the majority. And so what we did is we went back to when we were in the majority, looked at the amounts, looked at the total allocation and broke them down proportionally.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
I'm backing up a little bit. You mentioned the Minnesota Zoo, 42. But they're not named in that split there. Are they handled, Mr. Chairman, somewhere else? Or
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzen, yes. You'll see the money for the Minnesota Zoo under the zoo. Since we appropriate directly to the zoo, the lottery and lieu money that they receive, they get one-third of it. There's a direct appropriation. We'll see that later on when I'm going through
Thank you.
Side by side.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, on page.
So wait a second. So in this statutory reference, then, that's where on 20.15 on R30, does that then that where
it's handled?
This is Como.
It says because I think Senator Metzen's asking why the Minnesota Zoo isn't in. Specifically aimed in the
Mr. Chair, the statutory reference, this is the lottery and loose statute, and what that, at least paragraph E is, this is where the money is allocated by percentage to various accounts, and there's some of the money is put into a zoo account, and there are three zoos that receive funding out of that. This is two of the zoos, Como Park and Duluth. This is their one-third at the 320. Is here, and you'll see when we get to the zoo, we're almost there. When we get to the zoo, you'll see $160,000 per year for the Minnesota Zoo, for their one-third.
Okay.
And then, Mr. Chair, back to page R33. The House has some language on a report on the status of subsurface sewage treatment systems, 69.27. And then there's a rider for the Wetland Conservation Act. The one difference is the House includes on 70.1 enforcement, and the Senate does not contain the word enforcement. We see implementation and oversight, but not enforcement. And then, Mr. Chair and members, on 70.3 to 70.7, the drainage management provision. The House provides technical assistance, and the Senate says provide assistance. A slight difference there. And then on the Red River Basin Commission, the House has additional language that says that it must be matched by non-state funds for the Red River Basin Commission. The Senate does not include the match requirement. On the Area 2, the House has additional language in 70.20 that says that the area shall transition to a watershed district by July 1, 2015. They are not a watershed district right now, but they would. The House is requiring them to transition to one by the end of the biennium.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Sachs.
On R33, Senate has $42,000 for the Minnesota River Board. House doesn't fund that at all, but there's a appropriation up here where there's like a $42,000.
Thank you. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah. What's that about?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Saxog, the Minnesota River Board has spent the last several months trying to figure out what their purpose is. And we thought in the House that the state doesn't need to fund a board that has to figure out what its purpose is, and that money would be better used. And for example, my county, Dakota County, has pulled out of it because of the inability to have outcomes. And so the $42,000 we thought would be better spent in cost share going to projects on the ground.
Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair, before we move on, I know we'll come back to it, but I think yesterday Madam Chair kind of had a list, and maybe when we come back to R32 on the Bowser recommendations, maybe we can look at them and see which side they prefer, if they'd rather have it spelled out or as it was in the past.
Okay. Can we mark that down? All right.
So, Mr. Chair, yes, Senator Sachs, I point out one that I missed on page R33 on the Minnesota River Board. So then we'll move on to R34. That's the shift in cost share funds this allows the board to shift cost share funds between programs. On the top, that's the same on both sides. And then on the House has some additional language. This is the money for the one watershed approach, or the watershed plans you saw on the spreadsheet, the $900,000. The House and Senate both have the implement internal controls provision on 71.3 of the House side. And then on 71.7, you see the money to evaluate performance, financial, and activity information for local water management. I think Representative Hansen talked a little bit about that when we were going through the spreadsheet. And then on then the carry forward and carry back language for the board is the same on both sides. That's the last rider under Bowser. For Met Council, you'll see basically the riders are the same, except the House has the additional rider for the solar energy panels made in Minnesota in Metropolitan Parks and Regional Trails on 72.1 to 72.9. And then bottom of that page, we start the Conservation Corps Minnesota. And you see on the top of page R36, both sides are the same on that. And then on the Zoological Board, Section 8 on both, you'll see this is what I mentioned earlier with Senator Metzen, on 23.25 on the Senate side, you see the $160,000 per year from the lottery and lieu money. And then the, well, we have the Science Museum, but that's not part of this conference committee in Section 9. And then the next Section 10, this is the transfer provision that Mr. Mueller described in the spreadsheet, where the state is delaying $2 million of the transfer from this biennium to the next biennium. And so you'll see that on that's where the $10 million, and then you can see the actually extending to the next biennium and then a little bit into the following biennium on page R37. And, Mr. Chair, that's it for the riders. Now we've got, if there are any questions, I can move on to Article 4. Which is the, and it, again, we went through the PCA ride, PCA statutory provisions or policy language yesterday, so I'll skip over that, those parts. If you look on page R1 of Article 4, you'll see in the middle of the page the federal law compliance, that's the same on both sides. Section 3, this is the SCOI provision that was mentioned in the spreadsheet with the change in the dollars, where a utility license crossing is exempt from all fees when they're crossing on an existing right-of-way of a public road. Section 4, this deals with conveyance of land. Basically, it's a fee. There's a new fee enacted, if I remember right, in 2009. And what this does is it exempts a county, or if you look on 26.21, it exempts a county or joint county regional railroad authority from paying the fees specified for a trail easement on state-owned land. And then, Mr. Chair and members, generally the next two sections are the same. There's one sentence on 26.29 to 26.30 where it says exchanges under this section are limited to existing access corridor. This is exchange of road easements within forests. And the Senate carries an additional sentence on limited to existing access corridors. Otherwise, as far as I read, Section 2 on the House and 5 on the Senate, they are the same. And, Mr. Chair, now we'll get into some differences. On R5, the non-trail use registration, the Senate is carrying the governor's recommendation to have a $45, it's going to reduce fee instead of the $75 fee for stone wheel registration to allow the, as long as they don't use state or grant and aid trails. The House has a much more limited. It may be used solely for transportation on frozen surface of public water for the purpose of ice fishing. So under the House provision, you could only get the reduced fee as if you're just using your snowmobile for ice fishing. And then they also on 72.26, 72.28 provide that it must be a different color and distinguishable. And then Section 7 and 8 on the Senate side, these are really technical amendments to fit with that non-trail registration. I think they are necessary if you have a non-trail registration to have those technical changes on Section 7 and 8 on the Senate side. And then, Mr. Chair and members, on Section 4, the House has a no-registration weekend for all-terrain vehicles. It allows the commissioner, similar to where the commissioner sets up where you can go into state parks for a weekend or people can fish for a weekend without a fishing license if you take a kid fishing. And then, Mr. Chair, Section 5, are some changes to the off-highway vehicle and how they're operated. And there's a change on 75.21 where the house goes from 16 to 18 years old for issuing an all-terrain vehicle safety certificate. And then on 76.12, it says that a person 12 years of age or less than 16 may operate on the vehicle or an all-terrain vehicle on the bank, slope, or ditch. And it doesn't say...
Excuse me for a second.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought that actually this provision was taken out on the House floor when we had the amendment. Representative Hackbarth, it was his provision, and it's carried in the Game and Fish Bill, I believe. And so, or not at all?
Yes.
I just recalled that. So I was surprised to see that it's in here. I guess.
Yes. You know about this?
Yeah. Mr. Chair and members, it is correct that parts of Representative Hackbarth's bill that had been in the bill originally were taken out on the floor. These were not one of them. What he took out on the floor were a number of them that had to do with the grant and aid trails and allowing for donations to those accounts. And he took all those out on the floor, but these were remained, but they are also being carried in the Game and Fish bill.
And Mr. Chair and members, and then I was talking about that new paragraph J on the top of page R7. That deals with allowing, as long as they're accompanied by a parent or legal guardian, the person's between 12 and 16. And then on the middle of, or kind of lower middle, you see that these are Class 2 all-terrain vehicles. Those are the larger, the side-by-side. There's also some additional provision to allow them to ride in the ditch, because generally they're prohibited from the ditch, but they can if they're trying to access the business or make trail connections under this. And then there's also some additional language on 77.4, and I'm not sure how that's different from what's on 76.31 to 76.34. I mean, it looks like it's actually broader to other roads, but I'm not. I guess that's trunk highways up there, and this would be any other road on 77.4. It looks like it would include maybe city streets, but I'm not sure about that. That's the bottom page R7, and then on page R8, there's a new section of law in section 7 that the House is carrying. This is a pollinator habitat program. And if you look, it says the commissioner must develop best management practices for habitat restoration guidelines for pollinator habitat, and the guidelines must, and the best management practices guidelines developed must be used for all projects on state lands. And then on 78.11 and 78.12, it says that prairie restorations must include all appropriate diversity native species selected to provide habitat for pollinators throughout the growing season. And I wasn't sure if. Maybe at some point, Mr. Chair, Representative Gnees, to clarify if that applies to any restorations within the state done by anybody, or if that's tied to state money or state lands. It's not completely clear from paragraph B.
State lands.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gnees, if we've used that, we should probably clarify that a little better. And then, Mr. Chair and members, on Section 8 on the House side, this is dealing with an exemption for the permittees or persons working for a permittee for the water, working with water-related equipment, having to have the train. We had a similar bill on the Senate side, Senator Saxhog, at Senate File 698, although if I remember right, his was restricted to resort people working at a resort. This is a little broader than what your bill contained. And then, Mr. Chair, the bottom page, R9, the change on the Matthew Lowry Trail to Chinguitana State Forest, that's the same on both. The state park reservation system is the same on both, on sections 10 and 10 on the House and Senate. Section 11 on the Senate side, this was an amendment in committee. This allows for military personnel that have the annual pass for the United States military. They use those in national parks. It would allow them access to state parks without a state park permit. The LaSalle Lake State Recreation Area, that's the same on both sides. The next section, Section 12, is largely a technical section. The Senate also made a further technical change on 31.4. Instead of referring to people as disabled persons, the persons with disabilities. And then Sections 13 on the House, 14 on the Senate, the same. Bottom of the page is the same on the duplicate pass for the cross-country ski pass. Section 15 on the House, if you look on page R12, Section 15 on the House and 16 on the Senate are largely the same. There's a technical, I think, fix on the Senate side in 32.1. And Section 16, this is the lease provision. This is the lease permit fee that Mr. Mueller mentioned. I think it's $21,000 per year for a lease application fee. You see that they're going to set those at the department level. Section 17, this deals with school forests, and I think there were bills on both sides, and this deals with conveying land for the school forests. And you'll see some sections later in Chapter 282 dealing with the tax forfeited statutes that also relate to this establishment of school forests. And then, Madam Chair, members, I think I'm going to go through a number of pages fairly quickly. We have a number of timber provisions that are on both sides, and they are the same, unless if somebody wants to point out to me where they're different. On the bottom page, R13, we can go through R14, R15. These are the timber sales provisions for DNR. Go through R16, R17, R18, R19.
Good work, team.
R20, R21. R22, R23. Ms. Taylor's telling me we can go all the way through R29.
R29?
Yeah, so we might as well just jump to that instead of me going through reading pages. And then, Mr. Chair and members, there's on page R29, you'll see that the House has a provision on page for Section 57, and this is an application fee this is part of their application fee process. And I think that this is this starts getting into the mineral purposes fee, so that's the application fee, and then you'll see a number of fee changes on page R30, and these are all dealing with the mineral permit fees. And then also on page R30, goes all the way through R31 through 101.3. Those are the House mining fees. And then you'll see a same item on the bottom of the page, the scram mining definition on both sides. And that term is actually used. The next section, if you look at the top of page R32, the Senate has the same term for the mining permits, but we don't change the fee. If you look on 101.24 on the House side, you can see the permit amendment application fee is going from 10 to 20% of the amount on the House side, where it's retained at 10% of the amount on the House or on the Senate side, excuse me. And then 93.4, Section 64 is that's a permit release fee that the House has included at 20%. And then 65, they're also increasing another assignment fee from 10 to 20%. And then a pre-application fee, a new fee on Section 66 of 20% of the amount provided. And then on Section 67, there's a number of reclamation fees on the House side. Mine land reclamation fees, and then you'll see on the top of page R14, this is the House is setting up an account for the new fee that's going to be that would be charged at the Drill Corps library access, and that gets us into the next section, Section 69, where the House is carrying the provision that says that notwithstanding our data practices law, that data is available to the public at no fee. The Senate says it's consistent with that section that no fee may be required. The House is charging a fee for access to the Drill Corps library and puts it in that special inspections and administration account. The Senate basically says that, that no fee will be consistent with the Data Practices Act. No fee will be required, and the library shall remain open during business hours. And then, Mr. Chair, in Section 70 in the House side, they're setting up a state-owned construction aggregates reclamation account. This is for state-owned lands, and you'll see that the fee is in Section 71, where people who have a lease or permit to mine construction aggregates on state land would be required to pay a reclamation fee, and that you'll find the fee language on 105.12 to 105.15. I won't go into details on that unless the House wants to explain their provision. The bottom page, R35, actually continues on to the page on page R36. The difference in the language is the House uses the term notwithstanding rules adopted by this section. The rules will be changed later, so the Senate didn't see a reason to include the notwithstanding rules of the agency for a statute. And Madam or Mr. Chair and members, there are some changes here now in some language that deals with diversions of greater than 2 million gallons per day of water. The Senate didn't have a bill on this, and so the Senate's kind of unfamiliar with what the House is attempting to do here. But I can give you a little background. I was actually around in 1987 when these were enacted into law, and they were based on a court decision in Sporos versus Nebraska, and they were supposed to be put in. They were supposed to help us defend if somebody were to ever want to divert water out of Minnesota for a project. And now the House is making changes to that, and I don't know whether the changes, if they consider that adequate defense or whatever in those situations.
I think it's the same case, and we will make sure that we have the House research that talks about that case. Says that you cannot, that groundwater is an article in commerce, mm-hmm. and because it's an article in commerce, you cannot treat anything in state and out of state differently,
right.
or your law is not constitutional. Right. So this was just to make it in-state and out-state exactly the same, so that somebody coming in Wisconsin and deciding they would like to have some water in the Mount Simon aquifer for bottled water couldn't come in, because this is a huge amount of water. I mean, this is a huge amount of water. Couldn't argue that the law is unconstitutional and we can take the water.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Guinness, that was the intent of the 87 law. And whether or not this...
That was the issue, because they were different. There were things that... and we can have, a longer discussion about that, because we treated things in the state differently than in the state, and that was the issue.
Mr. Chair, President Guinness, the current law does not do that. It deals with interbasin transfers, and it doesn't matter whether it's in-state or out-of-state. If it's an interbasin transfer or a large water consumption, they are treated identically under current law. That was the intent of the 87 law, was to do that.
Well, I think we're going to have a longer discussion about it, because you will, if you look at the language and that determinations by the commissioner for in-state are different than diversion out-of-state.
That's, Mr. Chair, that's not my understanding of the current law.
Then that would, of course, make that of course would mean that somebody would take it to court, because we might have different understandings of the current law. I think we are after the identical.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, Representative McGinnis, what I saw here was that you were changing the standard to sustainable rather than what's in the current law, where the water remaining in the basin of origin will be adequate to meet the basin's needs. And that maybe what your thought is, that that defines sustainable. But you also talk about groundwater, and this does apply to surface and both surface and groundwater, but the only standards you have in there are for groundwater. And then there was also the backstop that was put in place in 87. Was that for these larger ones, unless they were for these specific items, that these larger ones would have to be approved by the legislature and remove that backstop also?
Okay, we'll get through this.
We'll get to that discussion. That
again, Mr. Chair, I apologize. We didn't have this at all. We didn't have a bill on this in the Senate, and so it's trying to understand what the House was intending on doing.
I will just put one additional notion on the table. Since 1987, in 2010, the legislature adopted a definition of sustainability for groundwater that was not in statute until 2010. So if you apply this, that simply say that you use the same standard for us as somebody trying to get water from us, you're okay.
Yeah, again, Mr. Chair, Representative, these provisions apply to surface water, too. So for groundwater, maybe that works. I'm not sure it works for surface water.
Then that is a great discussion to have. But then again, we have to be identical.
Yeah. And, Mr. Chair, sorry about the
a little diversion.
A little diversion there, but I just
like
that's
it.
A pun.
Did you get that?
You got it right away. Diversion.
And Mr.
See,
Chair,
I was told you didn't have a sense of humor. Nothing.
You were told I didn't have a sense of humor.
Yeah, somebody told me that. And I said, I think she does.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. That's probably true.
No,
shall I look
over? No, don't laugh a lot. It's always better for you. You end up feeling better. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, and then we'll move on to page R37. There's a kind of it's a technical cross-reference to something that you'll see later here. What the House does for permits, generally you don't need a permit under current law if you're less than 10,000 gallons per day or no more than 1 million gallons per year. What the House has in here now is that if you're part of one of these groundwater management areas, that you could be required to get a permit. And so that's why you see the exception on 107.2, and then you'll also see the exception on 107.14. And we'll see later that section on the groundwater areas. And then section 77 on the bottom page, R37, there you'll see the House fee increases or fee changes. I don't know if the chair wants to go over each one of those individually or just these are the fee increases that the House is carrying for. And I will just say one thing about the way that, and I think this is comparable to the way the governor brought it in, but under current law, it's based on how much you use. And what the House did is put it based on the categories that you're in as to what you pay for water, for your appropriation permit. I mean, that's the one kind of major theme difference here is that instead of based on how much you're using, it's how much, the fee would increase as you use more under current law, whereas under this, it's based on your category. If you see for metallic mine dewatering on the top on 107.32, it's $8 per million gallons used. For agriculture irrigation in Clause 3, it's $22 per million gallons used. And for non-agriculture irrigation, it's $70 on number 4. And for all their uses, it's $30 per million gallons. So you'll see there's a little difference. And then you'll see the change on permits. There were some restrictions on how much you would pay on a permit. On 108.22, you can see that the minimum fee is going up to $140 per year. The fee for a city of the first class is the maximum fee is going up a little bit. The three or fewer permits, and then for the there was a cap on agriculture irrigation on it's on 108.30. Of $750 per year, and that is changed to wild rice irrigation. So it would only apply to wild rice irrigation, but not to other agricultural irrigation. And then, Mr. Chair, if you look on page R13.
Do we know the reason for that one? The wild rice one, do we know the reason for that one?
To the fees and have a discussion, we need to ask Mr. Meckel at DNR to come in and go over this with a fine-tooth comb for us.
Good suggestion.
Hmm?
Good suggestion.
I mean, there are very specific reasons for each of these, and I don't know that you want to get into those that right now, but it would be good to have DNR here when we do.
That might be what we'll start doing on Monday, is taking some kind of testimony on some of these things.
We could do that.
We'll see. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Knopf, go ahead.
And then, Mr. Chair, you also see on page R39 on 109.11, the House is increasing the summer surcharge and making it apply in May and September also. This is supposed to be a deterrent for lawn watering during the summer to kind of increase during the highest use part of the year for water appropriation.
Okay. Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
One
of the things we will talk about the fees is really, are they much of a deterrent? Because as the way we talked about in the House, the average that somebody is paying for the average fee is a thousandth of a cent a gallon. And one would think we're willing to pay for a bottle of water a dollar or two. So
that's confusing too, actually. But go ahead.
That's what?
Why we pay so much for a bottle of water, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. I can't explain that.
Me either. Me either.
No way I'm going to try to explain that. However, these fees were not done as a deterrence. That's just not going to happen. Because when you're paying a thousandth of a cent a gallon, there's not much of a deterrence there. The fee is only to pay for the activities that the DNR needs to do to make sure that we all have our fair share of water. Basically, that's what's going on here.
And these are the fee changes that are the difference in the spreadsheet of the water fees, right? So it's a $6 or $7 million difference, is that correct?
Yeah,
okay.
6.1.
Okay.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, the House has a number of provisions dealing with monitoring. And this is where I've mentioned earlier that under current law, you're generally, and Representative Guinness was talking about this earlier, about how the individuals are supposed to pay for the monitoring and pay for the monitoring well. This is where the language change that you'll see on the top of page R40, where it says where you're deleting language on the commissioner may require, the commissioner may install and maintain monitoring equipment. And you're deleting language dealing with how it would be shared proportionately if there are multiple ones. What you're saying, if you're the primary source, then you may be required, but if there's multiple sources, then the commissioner would install and maintain that monitoring equipment. And this is what you were, Mr. Chair, Representative Gates was talking about earlier when we were talking about the fees. I wanted to point out that this is where the language occurs, where the changes for that.
Mr. Knopf, just out of curiosity, how much more do we have?
Well, Mr. Chair, we're on page R41, and we've got to go all the way to R89. I don't know if we have anything quite like we had with. Well, we do have. I mean, some of them will go pretty quick because we do have the carpet. And,
okay, the reason I'm asking is because I think I have to go over to finance for a little bit here.
Well, I think this is time intensive.
Should we?
Because we have session at 10, and we do have minimum wage, which.
Okay. All right, then this will be a good spot to break, and when we come back on Monday, we'll continue this, and then we'll figure out what to do next after that, all right? And I'll figure out a time. I'll get together with you, and we'll figure out what the best time is. So, okay, so that'll be good for today, then. There's a few donuts left if anybody wants some.
Yes,
so
I meeting adjourned. We have to say thank you for that, and we've set a standard, and geez, I'll see